panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
I grew up, he's followed close wherever I may be. I feel the wind across my face and touch it with my hand. No matter what your bloodlines, we belong to this land. Could be white, but come and join the choir. This feeling in your belly means you're welcome at this fire. So many generations between us we can trace, flowing like a river down to our dreaming place. Back on country. Family farm, North Queensland patch of dirt, King Street in Newtown, where they tucked away the hurt. Ancient stories, different worlds of love, hate, and fear. With a single dream, how many tribes all come together here.
3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au and 3CR On Demand. Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon, now Australian Eastern Standard Time. Out of the Pan welcomes you to the country of the Kulin Nations at the overlap of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. And we pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander First Nations people tuning in today. And we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her. And we opened up with Troy Cassard Daly, giving us the acknowledgement that we need, and a fine performer he is, with his amazing music and his personal background. That one from the album The World Today from a few years ago now, 2021. And on the show today, I have a wonderful guest standing by who I'll introduce in a second. And if you want to get in touch with the show and ask questions for me to put to our guest, you can do so by lots of means of communication. Out of the Pan, 855 at gmail.com. You can SMS 61456 751215. Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Instagram at Sal Gold Said So. And that's the bottom line on this WrestleMania day, 7 minutes and 1 second in, and there is the wrestling reference. And also Facebook, my page, Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan, 3CR, 855 AM Melbourne. And you can post information into PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. The wonderful Wombat has posted in a beautiful postcard to say that he was enjoying all the wonderful Melbourne International Comedy Festival guests on the show and was hoping Sam Nicoresti liked Puffing Billy. We love spreading that around. I did get to see Chloe Petz, who was my guest last week on Thursday night. Very, very funny, and loved their stories, on Lad Culture. And there might be, I'll just do a general content warning note today, in case needed. QLife, including Switchboard in Victoria and Tasmania, 1800 184 527, and Rainbow Door, 1800 729 367. And, well, it's good that we get things to celebrate in our LGBTIQA plus communities, because Victoria had that a few weeks back when people with variation of sex characteristics got some amazing laws passed. And on the line to talk about it is longtime intersex advocate and peer support worker Bonnie Hart. Bonnie, welcome to 3CR.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Absolute pleasure. It was great to see you, gosh, back at midsummer, which seems, well, February, March, 3 months ago. It seems like so much happens. But, yeah, it was good to see you there. And we said, we've got to get you on. And then, of course, the Victorian laws were passed. That is just so exciting. I mean, you know, I'm excited and I'm an endosex person. I can't imagine how excited you and other people with variation of sex characteristics must be. I'm going to start by asking, how did you feel when that law passed through the upper house and, then is only now waiting for it to come into effect?
Yeah, look, it's pretty rewarding to see something like that happen. It's obviously like getting legislation to protect young people from medical interventions that could be deferred until those children are old enough to make informed decisions about what they want to have happen to their bodies, and to provide people with more oversight and protections is really, I don't know, it's really welcome, and has been the result of many, many decades of advocacy and work to bring those issues to the table, have people understand them, and then to try and engage policymakers in order to make sure that those protections are there. So it's really great, and it's great to see community come together and support that. And great to, you know, quite amazing to see politicians across the spectrum support reform in this space. And the level of respectful dialogue, I think, that the both in both houses when the legislation went through, it was amazing to see.
Cool. Well, that was brilliant, telepathy, because I was going to ask you about that. I mean, from my point of view as a trans person and sometimes as a bi person, we gays and lesbians, perhaps more so in the past, have faced very disrespectful and political football type of dialogue. But it sounds like, there was, at least there was respectful debate when this legislation went through the two houses of the Victorian Parliament, which is great. That must have been, that must have felt rewarding as well.
Yeah, it is. And again, it's the result of actually a lot of conversations that have been had with different politicians and staffers within government. I think when people really understand who people with innate variations of sex characteristic are and what our experiences of healthcare are like, then things make a lot more sense, you know? A lot of the disrespectful debate is associated with not really understanding or confusing intersex with being something that it's not. And when people do find out, then of course it makes sense to make sure that there are more protections and greater oversight.
That is excellent to hear. Now, the thing is, the Victorian legislation is the second of the 8 states and territories in Australia to pass laws. The ACT passed its laws, again, time flies, around 3 to 4 years ago, and were first. What were you able to learn from the, both in terms of the process and the desired outcome in terms of the detail of the legislation from the ACT that was perhaps able to make the Victorian process and outcome a little less of, obviously you had a key template worked out, but, what sort of things changed so there was a bit less reinventing the wheel, so to speak?
Yeah, that's right. And I think, the wheel was certainly invented for the first time in the ACT, and that was passed in 2023, so it's been 3 years since that legislation's passed and came into effect at the end of last year. So, there's certainly lots of learnings that have been along the way, and I think the way that the ACT has worked with Victoria in terms of making their model available, and Victoria's really did, again, lots of consultation with community, with clinicians, with parents, and with service providers, and really tried to build on the ACT's model. So it's similar in the way that interventions when they're ascribed to a person that's not able to provide full and informed consent, that person is a protected person, and then the interventions that they receive need to have a treatment plan that is assessed by an oversight panel, basically. And that panel's made up with a multidisciplinary approach, so it has both clinical expertise, also lived experience expertise, human rights, ethical, bioethics, psychological, psychosocial expertise. And then once those are treatment plans, if they're well evidenced, and once those treatment plans are approved, then there is no, then treatments can go ahead. It's about making sure that everyone knows exactly what they can do, what is within scope and what's not within scope. And that's really around the basis of not creating harm where things can be deferred. So obviously we're talking about deferring cosmetic medical interventions that have no, that don't have a medical emergency associated with them.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, look, it's just so excellent to hear, because intersex people have been talking about this for so long, and now, the fact that the next generation will have, in Victoria, at least we'll say far less of this happening, if not, I don't know if it can totally prevent harm, but it's certainly got to go a long way. It's just too excellent that's happening. So, once, of course, a surgery is done, and if someone, later on says, well, that's not what I really would have wanted, it can't be changed for a person with variation of sex characteristics externally. And now that that can be prevented, the benefits first to the person are enormous. But what about the benefits to, we'll say, family of origin in this case? That's perhaps an area that doesn't get discussed enough.
Yeah, and a lot, you know, parents play a really big role in our lives as intersex people. Like, often it's parents that disclose to us that we have an innate variation of sex characteristic, and the parents are primarily the advocates for their children within a healthcare setting. Supporting parents and making sure that they have access to the resources to make decisions and to understand the information that's being given to them. Because you can imagine when you have a child that's born whose body looks different to what you're expecting it to look, mm-hmm. And you have no understanding, had no understanding about intersex before then, that can be an incredibly challenging time for people to have to try and make sense of not just the medical and scientific side of what's happened, but then also the social side as well, you know. What does living well with that type of body look like for their kid? And how do they talk about it? Who do they talk about it with? When do they talk about it? Lots of big questions. So the legislation itself is about trying to provide more clarity around what treatments are available and what the evidence bases for those treatments are in terms of their efficacy and timing, and also to make sure that those parents have the support, the additional supports of the oversight panel as well. So that's a multidisciplinary approach to making sure that any decisions that get made in that space are kind of grounded in a rights-based and psychosocial well-being model.
Yep.
As well as making sure that all of the medical needs, when they are like truly medical needs, are met, and met in a really timely way. Because, you know, like all people with intersex bodies need access to healthcare. And they need access to the healthcare that they need when they need it. So that then needs to be timely access, and it needs to be affirmative in terms of making sure that it is going to meet the current and future needs of the child.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's just too excellent. And I mean, the thing that came to mind, I mean, the birth of a child for parents is obviously, we'll say, a time where there's great anticipation and feelings and emotions, and then to have this the situation of variation of sex characteristics come up and it feels like it's out of left field, there must be huge heightened emotions for the parents at that time as well. And so the fact that they've got that support, I'm just thinking about the relief that must exist for them to know this isn't this, in inverted commas, strange mystery. But, oh no, lots of people have, what is it, 1.7% at least have experienced this, and you don't have to, again, don't have to reinvent a wheel.
Yeah, it's, I think, like most things, it's like if you know that it exists before it happens to you, then it's so much less of a shock. Do you know? Like, that's why visibility and awareness is such a great thing, because if you know that that innate variations of sex characteristics are natural variations of sex characteristics, then that's a much different approach from having something turn up in your life that you just had no frame of reference for or no understanding of. Because, you know, people with intersex traits can live and do live happy, healthy lives.
Yep.
And often if you don't know that beforehand, you can think the worst for your child. Mm. But that's why, again, connection to community and peer support is so important in this space for people and also for parents as well, because that experience of raising a child whose body is a bit different comes with its own set of challenges. And there's been lots of people that have done that before. You know, like,
yep.
Again, there's lots of wheels out there that you could have a very functioning cart to be able to bring excellent information and lots of fun into your little person's world.
Yep, yep. Move it from a cart to a, you know, a beautifully brand new electric vehicle, so to speak, that's, you know, beautifully clean and well-functioning, which is just so awesome. Your last remarks, though, led to two queries that have been on my mind. As someone who presents, I'm going to use the phrase LGBTIQA plus diversity education, I often find intersex is perhaps almost the least understood of that. I've had some remarks, granted some time ago, of people saying there's no, and I'm almost going to say small content note for you, oh, there's no such thing as intersex. There's only two bodies, all that sort of thing. And they don't mean it perhaps in a nasty way. They just have never heard of it, or people would often come up to me even before the training had started. What's intersex? Because they hadn't heard of it. Do you think knowledge, and I'm going to split this in two parts, in the community overall, and I'll just stick to so-called Australia first, and then within the rest of LGBTQA+, do you think it's increasing on just intersex over time?
I'd hope so, because there's been people out there talking and being visible about being intersex and I'm providing education for like a long time as well. But in saying that, I think the level of understanding about who we're talking about can also, it can be really challenged by the fact that there's such a lot of different language that's used to even talk about intersex, you know? And some people who have innate variations of sex characteristics don't use that term to talk about their bodies. They would use either like other clinical terms, like differences of sex development, like DSDs, or they would use a diagnostic term. They might see themselves as having a medical condition and being, you know, and so consequently there is like lots of cisgendered heterosexual people with innate variations of sex characteristics that may or may not perceive themselves to be part of an intersex community. So in that, it's like, in that way, it's we're talking about a really diverse population of people. And so to talk about them clearly can be challenging, because obviously it's not neat to talk about such difference in a different population. And consequently, like, as a result, I think people end up, there's a lot of misconceptions that can be about intersex, you know, like there's a lot of particularly the idea that intersex means that someone is not male or not female. Yeah. So they're like a third gender, or like a non-binary, have a non-binary gender. Like every person with an intersex trait has the same gender and it's non-binary. That doesn't actually match reality. Or that all intersex children or people with intersex traits are assigned a third sex. And that also doesn't happen as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stats are mostly that, you know, people with intersex bodies are assigned male or female at birth, and like all other endosex people as well, those can change depending on either the person's will or like the way that their body changes over time as well. Yeah, but I would say that, like, yes, things are improving. We're having this conversation now, which is something that didn't certainly happen on the radio 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And if you're an intersex woman like me, in the era that I grew up in, there was no conversation. There was no conversation at home. There was no conversation with friends. It was just something that happened and was managed in a hospital, and you never spoke about it outside. And people were very much on their own with their bodies and experiences. And so these conversations are so important, because every little bit of education and awareness that someone has is a little bit of pressure that's not on a person with an intersex trait to have to do that education, just so that they can connect with people that they care about or access a service that meets their needs, or, like, you know, there's lots of reasons why the role of allies, of learning more about intersex, is so important, because you're quite literally helping facilitate life for another person.
Yeah. No, very, very true. In all other things being equal, endosex people have the privilege and need to use that in a positive and yet humble way as allies, and to use the words accomplices to break down that disadvantage, negativity, inequality, similar. The thing is, I wanted to ask you about two great organisations, Intersex Peer Support and Interaction, and what each one does. Also talk about your involvement in them, if you like. And also I'll start with each of those. What do those two organisations do, how are they similar? How are they different?
Yeah, well, Interaction for Health and Human Rights is Australia's body for people with innate variations of sex characteristics. So it is actually a new name that has resulted from the merger last year, the unification between two of Australia's oldest running intersex organisations. So Intersex Human Rights Australia and Intersex Peer Support Australia unified together and formed Interaction for Health and Human Rights. So in that, like, we bring a, like, so now under one banner there is a policy and advocacy branch. There is a psychosocial support branch as well. So there's Interaction is like the mothership that provides like kind of organizational structure for us to be able to deliver some really wonderful projects. So Intersex Peer Support Australia is one of Australia's oldest intersex organizations and one of the first intersex peer support groups ever in the world. So it was established in 1985 in the Melbourne Children's Hospital, and then became peer-led in 1996. So it was originally called the AIS Support Group, Australia, and then I was the president of the AIS for about 10 years, and during that time, we branded as Intersex Peer Support Australia because we'd been always providing support to people, to other people, not just people with AIS, which is one intersex variation. We'd been providing support to whoever needed it and reached out, and to their families and partners. And we recognized that even though people might have really different bodies, their experiences might be really similar.
Yep.
In that way. So Intersex Peer Support Australia is national. There's representatives in each state and territory. Cool. And there's also a parent representative as well. And it's a really great way to get, if you have an intersex variation or an innate variation of sex characteristics, to get connected with other people. And so that's really great. That's one of the programs that Interaction runs.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is Interlink, which Interlink is our intersex specific psychosocial support service, and it's a service that I designed and I run. Cool. And we provide free counseling, peer navigation, and we run group works for people with innate variation of sex characteristics of all ages, so from children all the way through to older adults. And also we work with the parents and carers of young people with intersex traits. So, Interlink's are really available online, and people can, like, register for free anytime if you have an IVFC. It's really great way of being able to get connected quickly with, like, support, with also information and community. So it's really about trying to get people linked in with all of the good psychosocial stuff to improve things in their life.
Yeah.
And finally,
yes, and on wait, the there's other more.
End, wait, there's more. The other project that comes under Interaction is the Yellow Tick Program. So that's the our intersex awareness and education platform. And Yellow Tick provides training to organizations about, again, basic fundamentals in what IVSC is, so innate variations of sex characteristics are, and also information specific to being an ally, and also histories of the intersex movement in Australia as well. So, yeah, it's a really diverse platform of good, solid, community-controlled intersex services and programs.
Yeah. No, look, it is very, very awesome that you've got it all together under the one structure, which obviously means ease of communication. It probably cuts admin, a little bit of admin costs to some extent, you know, it's very sensible. Yeah. And look, I say with a mixture of dry humour or perhaps disappointment and frustration for me as a trans person, I wish trans people in so-called Australia could do the same. You know, although obviously the issues are different. One is variation of sex characteristics. The other is gender identity and expression. Both groups have experienced, I use the broad term negativity, whether we call that discrimination, trauma, all those sorts of things. And we know that that trauma can come up in people. There can be, and I'm talking from the point of view of the trans community here, lateral hostility. Genuinely, as I say, I'll go be totally serious, in awe that you managed to get people who had faced such difficult situations, like, you know, the isolation you described for yourself is tough enough. How was it bringing all those people together? How did you go about achieving that? Because it really is a shining light of advocacy for, a community that has faced so much difficulty.
Yes. Well, thank you, firstly. That's really lovely words, Sally, to say. But I think, you know, the unification was an act of survival as well for our groups, because, you know, we're not a huge population of people, and the people that step forward to participate and provide peer support are even smaller sections still. So our groups, our peer support group, IPSA, is still largely volunteer run, and the impacts, I suppose, of COVID when the lockdowns happened and that destabilization really hit our grassroots community run volunteer organizations the hardest, because people weren't able to do that, and there was a lot of pressure on our volunteer committee to be able to continue doing work. So it was really made a lot of sense to try and streamline our governance processes and also, try and work together to be able to find more meaningful sources of income for the organizations, to be able to ensure that they're going to survive into the future, to be able to continue providing support. So I think when you frame it like that, and when you frame it to a committee and a community and being like, we will have less time, or we will have to do less governance and board meetings and or admin, and can spend more of our volunteer time delivering peer support and working with each other, I think it makes a lot of sense, and community can really get behind that.
Yep. No, that's, again, brilliantly put. I mean, and I can say this, I'm the person who trained as an accountant who would like to minimise paperwork as much as anyone else, but I don't know how I do accounting. But seriously, I get that. That's a really good way to bring people together. Well thought through. Big tick of any colour, but definitely yellow and purple there.
Definitely yellow tick.
Yeah.
I would also say as well, like from Interaction Human Rights Australia's point of view as well, it makes a lot of sense, because the people who have the courage and tenacity and capacity to stand up and advocate to change systemic harms from happening and educate politicians, clinicians and service providers about what lived experiences have told us around these treatments, that works super hard. It's really challenging. It's really difficult to change clinical practice and culture. It's a giant machine, and it's really powerful. Mm-hmm. And so to be a small community that's been able to affect that type of change has been the result of passionate people who feel so strongly about their experiences that they have needed to do that as a method of surviving, basically. So activism and advocacy and peer support are hand in hand, because you can't do one without the other. So you can't advocate without having a community to support you in doing that. And you can't provide peer support to people and hear the same stories again and again about difficult circumstances or experiences or negative healthcare experiences without needing to try and have a voice back into those systems to change that. So it really is a wonderful synthesis of both protection and it's a protective system. We seek protections, but also it's a protective factor is our social and community engagement with one another.
Excellent. Just brilliantly summarized there, Bonnie. Just too great. Look, there's only a couple more things I'd like to ask. You touched on the yellow tick, but what else can endosex people do to be allies? I know in one sense every situation could be different, but what are perhaps consistent themes that come up where you need that ally support from endosex people, people whose sex characteristics, we'll say, fit societal and medical expectations of male or female?
Yeah, look, obviously being educated is like the first step, and knowing who and intersex people are and what our experiences and what our calls for action are. In 2017, we published the Darlington Statement, which was a community consensus statement, and you can check that out at darlington.org.au. And that really outlines kind of the community's calls for reform across a variety of areas, including health and law and social reform, education. And if you feel strongly about that, you can affirm the Darlington Statement as well. And that's a very visible way of demonstrating your commitment to improving the health and well-being of people with innate variations of sex characteristics. The other thing you can do is just in your everyday life is if you see when people are making broad sweeping statements about sex and gender to assume that male and female sex exists, or that everything is so very binarized in terms of how bodies developed, in terms of how people are perceived, and in terms of how people live in the world, you can challenge that because, whilst not every person with intersex variation sees themselves as being non-binary, as I said, and most people are assigned male or female, it's those norms around what is a male and what is a female and what a female body should look like and what a male body should look like that really drive harms to people whose bodies don't look like that. If you see someone making those big statements and you can gently recorrect that course of that conversation, then you're actually doing an act of advocacy for people who might not be able to do that for themselves.
Very, very awesome. Well, I'm going to bring it. One thing is, I think we've got most things covered. I think we've covered a pretty broad range, but is there anything else that perhaps popped up while we were talking that you think needs worth a mention before I give you one last question and let you go?
I would just be remiss to not give the email address, website address for Interlink.
So if anyone
is interested in contacting Interlink to access free counselling and peer navigation, you can do that anytime. So it's cost-free. And specifically just for people with innate variations of sex characteristics and their parents. And you can register anytime at ilink.net.au. And we also have a really great resource hub, so there's lots more information about different variations and health and well-being, sexual health and sexual violence prevention resources that are on that website. So yeah, check it out. Do yourself a favour.
Thanks, Molly Meldrum. But I will put that link, the Darlington Statement and Interaction, into the podcast when it goes up later today. So that will be another way of accessing those. The last question, to bring it full circle, is there any other states or the Northern Territory perhaps on the radar for intersex legislation similar to the ACT in Victoria? Is anyone looking good at this stage?
Well, we're certainly in dialogue with lots of states, I think the next one is probably Tasmania. It's the most progressed in terms of reform in this area.
Yeah.
And so really looking forward to seeing that there. But, the Victorian model is so strong that other states, it really doesn't need much more reinvention.
Beautiful.
It can actually just be picked up by other states and implemented. So if you are listening from another state and have an idea about how that can work, again, reach out, because it's the result of good allyship and good partnering that creates these big long-term visions of legislative reform and change and protection. That doesn't happen just by a few community members sitting around wishing for that happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm sure there'd be people willing to do that. As you say, you've got this, you know, pretty much, amazing template, you know, that's pretty much close to 100% now, that's been developed over, you know, well, a long time, first with the ACT, then, you know, sort of fine-tuned, so to speak, for Victoria. So, and there's also lots to be learnt about the process. But when it comes to connection, I'd better let you connect with the people you're going to lunch with. So, Bonnie, I really appreciate your time, your expertise, the heart that you put in, no pun intended, honestly, but seriously, it is very uplifting, and I just wish you and other people with variation of sex characteristics in so-called Australia and all around the world continual improvement and the best lives possible, and thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Sally. Thanks for having me.
Have a good one, and we'll catch you again soon. And always stay in touch with any developments or things you need to let us know about that are ongoing, for sure, too.
Absolutely.
Bye now.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bonnie Hart from Interaction there. Wow. I mean, yeah, I am hugely uplifted by that conversation. Just such amazing, inspiring work. You know, it's not easy dealing with politicians, but the fact that they got a consensus, respectful debate in these times, it just shows it can be done. So just mega awesome, sawsome is all I can say. I'll have a breather, play some music, and then, of course, we do have one news story, which, I'll say some degree of content note on the trans front. But in the meantime, let's chill it back with Angelique Kidjo and Batonga. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
Mm-hmm. Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
Hello, this is Leroy McQueen, and you're listening to Out of the Pan on 3CR.
AM 3CR digital 3cr.org.au and 3CR on demand. Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. We just heard from Angelique Kijo and Batonga from the Triple J live at the Wireless set volume 2, 1992. And yes, I think I've got about 24 years, no, 34 years of dust and muck on that CD, to be honest. Hang on. 34. Oh, yes. I don't like my chances of getting a replacement if it gets too dirty. Anyway, look, content note on the next news, but I'm going to say mild because it's impossible not to comment on the legal decision in Australia this week regarding the Lesbian Action Group. And if you missed that news, what happened was that they have a right to appeal a decision that that occurred in court. Now, this is not, let's be clear, this is not a statement on trans rights. It's not the equivalent of that horrible UK case about biological sex where there was bad process. So I think I just urge trans and allies to just sort of take a deep breath here. It is a process type of issue only that is all that has happened. And, you know, without wanting to, I do not claim to be a lawyer, but it is more about technical legal issues, is I think I can say that safely without anything else. So I think we need to be careful before drawing any conclusions. And of course, the Lesbian Action Group and those who support them are blowing their trumpets. That's what they do. But it shows, in my opinion, how desperate they are. Interesting that a friend of mine who is a cis ally of trans people commented this and made her initial Facebook post public, and unfortunately, just and as a private citizen, it's not like she's an activist in that sense, and was unfortunately had trolling comments and had to turn the post into friends only after finding all the trolls under the bridge, so to speak. So. Just please be careful out there. I will give the numbers for, once again, QLife, including Switchboard, 1800 184 527, 1800 729 367. If you find anything about that distressing, or if you do get trolled or something, people are there. Reach out for community. I mean, the parallels of what interaction and the variation of sex characteristics community have done here in Australia. What a template. And I have to admit, there were a few light bulbs going off in terms of perhaps how trans people could organise similarly around so-called Australia for me. As much as I'm not that involved anymore, maybe I might need to re-involve. There's a threat. Anyway, So there it is. Just hang in there, everyone. It's tough. I totally acknowledge that. And we know it's tough for lots of people overseas. But one country where hopefully it might ease up, one of my highlights of the week was, of course, the ending of the Orban regime, and regime, in my opinion, it was in Hungary, with a more moderate person coming in. Now, whether that person will repeal repressive laws, including against in relation to mainly, I would think, sexual orientation and gender identity, but maybe variation of sex characteristics as well. And who knows whether that person will move things forward. Well, will remain to be seen. But, certainly must be, love to track down someone in Hungary who could tell us how it's feeling and what hopes they have. Would be just amazing. on that note, congratulations to Madison on Queering the Air, who a few weeks ago spoke to someone from Russia who's managed to escape the country, but only to a country next door, which was quite repressive. Queering the Air is one of the shows coming up at this afternoon. That's at 3 o'clock. However, before that, on Freedom of Species, talking all things animal advocacy, vegetarian and vegan. Today, they have a presentation by Savannah, who's in, covering the treatment of the deer in Nara Park and attitudes towards animals in Japan generally, and with particularly featuring Ruby Ramson, who recently finished her PhD on veganism in Japan. So there's some internationale in its way. And I forgot to thank the crew from Out of the Blue, diving deep for the marine news, as they always do before Out of the Pan, today covering nesting fish. See, there's diversity in nature. It's diversity in nature, diversity in humans, all sorts of things. Rotations at 2, Madison and the crew from Queering the Air at 3, Salam Radio Show at 4. The great lineup of radio on 3CR this afternoon as part of the great radio that is 3CR generally community radio. And wow, it's probably only a couple of months away now from Radiothon in our 50th year. Which is just too awesome. So thanks once again to Bonnie Hart for being my guest. Thanks once again to Wombat for your card. And also next week I'll have a story of an amazing couple on the show. So look forward to that one with Shelley and Wren. Take it out today with some country-ish music. I wonder if Leroy McQueen, who we heard from, would like this. And also thanks to Go Kindly, our sponsor. This one is the Far Gone Beauties and their version of Play That Country Music and Rawhide combined. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. Stay difficult and stay happy. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week. So foolish.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.